Hey everybody, you're tuned in to 91.8 The Fan. This is Kana, you're in my corner, and I have a very special guest in my corner, a very special hyper guest, which means this will be fun. And thank you very much for joining the show, Amanda Winley.
Hi!
This is going to be great.
Should I do the entire interview like that? My name's Amanda! I'm an actor, a voice actor!
I have to wonder, is that a specific character? I might not know that one.
That's just me messing around. That's my "Hi, I'm a Spaz" voice. I've always wanted to use it in a show, though. I've never gotten a chance to.
Well, hopefully you will someday soon. Now, obviously, you know, I was going to ask you about this, but we know about your sort of flagship role, which you're vastly popular for, which would be actually quite different from how you actually are.
Exactly. Rei Hayanami. I always joke that Matt cast me as Rei Hayanami because he wanted me to shut the hell up for a while.
Yep. That was a very big show. That was massively popular. And were you amazed when you found out how big it sort of exploded?
I was absolutely flabbergasted. I mean, you know, I thought, oh, this is really amazing animation, but usually with stuff that's that amazing, it doesn't get as much recognition as it should. I thought maybe it was just going to be too complex for people to really get into. But yeah, wow. I was really blown away by how big it got. And yeah, I loved sticking with it. You know, we did, I worked at ADV and we did the series, and then my company, Gaijin, did the movies, End of Evangelion and the, oh God, what's the other one? Death and Rebirth.
Ah, I see. And with that series specifically, with Rei, you know, she's very emotionless. Was that challenging considering you're like a ball of energy?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I get into a really, really sort of strange, quiet corner of my mind when I'm playing Rei. And there will be times when literally I'd stop recording and be like, okay, somebody tell me a joke or something because I'm about to go open a vein. This is just too depressing. So
it's emo time.
Exactly. Exactly. The way Matt originally introduced Rei to me was, this character is possibly autistic. I went, okay.
That is an interesting way to be introduced to a character.
Yeah.
And I also, you, I believe when the movies came out, you weren't just doing the voices either. You were also doing ADR direction, correct?
Yes, I directed, produced, and wrote the scripts.
That must have actually been fun to, you know, have your hands in, like, a bunch of different things, not just, you know, two or one, just, like, everything pretty much.
I mean, it was great in some aspects because it was very much my baby, but other aspects it was very overwhelming because it is such an important project to the fans. I really wanted to do it justice. So I'd actually go to some of the fan forums and, you know, post stuff on the boards and see what fans thought about certain things before, you know, writing the script. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but it was definitely worth it. I did get hospitalized at one point during the production. My body did quit on me. Because we actually have, Matt and I used to have this joke, Evangelion, we used to call it Plaguegelion, because every time we were set up to record another couple of episodes, inevitably one of the main characters would get sick. Every single time. So the fact that I got sick while we were working on the movies just sort of seemed to go, it was in keeping with the rest of the series.
I'm sorry to hear that, but at the same time, you know, you guys did a very well finished product, and it's you know, renowned for being such a great series, and the movies have always been, you know, done so well. So I think the fans appreciate that.
I hope so. I mean, you know, I still get letters from fans about, I put a comma in the wrong place on the subtitles, or I, you know, didn't do something justice, and all I can say is I'm sorry. You know, I did my best. I'm honestly one of those people who tries to remain as true as possible to the original Japanese intent. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to use the exact translation. What I mean is, like, if I'm working on a series and a teenager is in a fight and he says to someone, I will defeat you. That's the literal translation. Well, since he's a teenager and he's in a fight, I'll have him say something like, I'm going to kick your butt. So to me, that's staying true to the original intent of the series. And that's what I've always tried to do.
Right. And I think you can get a lot of respect for that, too. And at the same time, it's kind of funny that you're still receiving emails, you know, over 10 years later.
I know. There are some real diehard fans out there. And I appreciate it.
I have to ask, you know, you got to see sort of the anime boom happen in the early 2000s. How was that?
It was crazy and overwhelming and fantastic. When I first got into anime, dubs were still hated by all. So I was sort of the redheaded stepchild of the anime field at first. But as it got more and more popular, it was fantastic to meet other voice actors and to just see people who were touched by what we did. Because basically we stand in this little padded room with a microphone and we make funny noises and mess around and act silly. But I never know whether or not anyone's actually listening. So then I'd go to conventions and I find out that people not only were listening, but they liked it. That was the best feeling in the world. It's like, okay, good. We did it right. Yay.
I mean, it's funny that you say that, you know, back then, because as a little kid, obviously for me, I only got to see them dubbed, you know, on TV. Mm-hmm. And now sort of in my viewpoint, I get to see so many people be, you know, sub-elitist. And while there's only a small portion of dub fans now, and it's almost sad in a way, despite the fact all the respect the voice actors get.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree. I mean, I don't even know if I should admit this. I always watch the subs. I don't watch dubs, but mostly because I go into professional mode and I start thinking like, oh, you know, that sound effect should have been thrown to the left speaker, or they missed a flap there, or, you know, oh, I can tell they used this specific system when they were recording this because it sounds like crap. And it just is too distracting for me. So I just watch the subs.
Well, at the same time, you have a lot more of, you know, the business, you know, experience and sort of the inner workings, and not many people watching are going to be like, oh, it's in so-and-so speaker, or they know what system it is. I doubt many anime fans actually know that.
I'm also a self-hating voice actress. I hate, loathe, and despise the sound of my own voice, so I can't watch any of the dubs that I'm in. I can't. I'm always just like, every time I come on this screen, I'm like, oh, shut up.
And that's funny too, because like from what I know, if you have to redo lines or if there's a premiere or something, you're going to hear it anyway.
Exactly. I mean, I've learned to keep that little voice quiet. The oh God, get that bitch off the screen. Oh, I'm sorry, get that girl off the screen. Voice quiet in my head, but I just can't watch my own stuff. Part of it is that I'm a perfectionist, and every little thing I'm like, oh, you know what? If I had just done that inflection there, that would have made it perfect. Or, oh, we should have put this in the scene. We should have done this. We should have done that. It drives me nuts. So it's like, okay, let's just watch the original Japanese. And it's, I don't know, in a weird way, it sort of alleviates me of the responsibility of seeing what needs to be fixed. So, yeah, I watch subs.
Well, what seems really interesting to me is that, you know, that you have that perfectionist quality. It means you really care and you have a big passion for, you know, what you do.
Absolutely. I would throw myself into projects wholeheartedly, try and do as much research as I possibly could. And also because I know that even before some stuff, you know, was getting here, that it already had fans in the United States, and I felt beholden to them. I wanted to make sure that I did their favorite, you know, anime justice. So, yeah, I'm kind of a perfectionist. As a result, I get really, really stressed out. But a lot of the time, I think it was worth it. I think a lot of our finished products, I'm fairly happy with.
And I have to agree of a lot of the projects that I've seen you do, that I really like them, especially considering, you know, I guess I'm a weird anime fan because I don't watch a lot of the newer stuff. I still watch a lot of the older stuff. Like, I'm still catching up from, like, you know, the 1990s. It's great.
Yeah. That's great. Great.
And so it's neat to see, you know, the differences between then and now. I mean, have you seen any differences as a voice actress from, you know, in the 1990s to, you know, now in the 2000s?
Yes. I'm trying to think of how to be diplomatic. A lot of what I've seen is, let's get this done quickly, let's get it churned out, let's get it done and move on. And that really, really infuriates me. It's part of the reason I've sort of taken a step back from anime, is that I was too personally invested in it. And it would make me insane to see them send, you know, an amazing series to a dub house that I knew literally didn't have the actors do any research. They just have them come in and spit out lines, and then they either speed them up or slow them down to make sure they match the flaps and move on. You can hear, or I can hear, in an actor's voice when they're just reading a line and when they're genuinely acting and there's intention and inflection behind it. And these days, I see a lot of line readings, and it bugs me. So, yeah, there's a difference. I think also as it's become more mainstream, you know, the demand is higher, so people do have to get things done more quickly. But I'm a stickler. I think that anime is an art form. I think it's an art, and I think it deserves to be treated as such. And when people just treat it as a commercial thing to sell toys or, you know, it drives me nuts.
Well, no, I can actually understand, because I do see the business side, because, you know, there's a push to get things out faster. It has to get out faster, and it has to be a good quality, because there's so many people who, you know, pirate out there. And then in relation to that, there's quite a lot of people who, a lot of fans who complain it's not fast enough. It's never fast enough. So it's hard to please both parties, because I can see what you mean. When I talked to Scott Simpson, who was Keiichi in the Oh My Goddess, the original one, that was one of my first animes. And when I watched that, I can still feel, you know, between the two main characters, the chemistry. Ironically, they dated in real life. That's what makes it funny.
I know. I met Juliet and Scott at a convention a couple of times. Really nice.
But it's that's the kind of thing, like, I can see that difference, and I think a little bit for me it's you know, the nostalgia value too, but at the same time I can understand where you're coming from, and I can understand where the business is coming from, and it's kind of sad that there's little compromise you can, you know, do. So you've actually taken a step back from anime, so you haven't been doing that. Have you been doing anything else in between?
I've been doing video games. I've got another one, Trauma Team, coming out, which is a very, very detailed graphic medical video game. So, it was fun to work on, but there are things like, okay, remove the bone and drain the fluid. I'm like, ew, what to do that? That's nasty. But, I mean, the game is amazing. The game is going to be phenomenal.
That actually is for the Wii, correct?
I think. Sure.
I think it's the one that's really.
I always say, you know what? I just make the stuff. I don't watch it. My husband's the one that plays all the video games and knows. I mean, it was funny. Like, when Activision first contacted me years ago about doing something for them, I didn't know who they were, because I don't play video games. I just sort of said, there's this company, and I don't act as something. And Jason goes, Activision? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, call them back. So, yes, it might be for the Wii. I don't know.
It's okay. I'm pretty sure I'm familiar with the one you're talking about. I'm pretty sure it's the Trauma Team one for the Wii that comes out May 18th.
Oh, perfect timing then. Yes, that's the one. I'm Maria Torres, the scrappy, God, what am I? I'm a doctor, I'm a medic, I'm a surgeon, I'm every woman. It's awesome.
I know that every character in that game, like, has specifics, and I'm actually a fan of the series, and I've been like, I've been running like all week. I want that game. I really want that game. I didn't know you were in it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun working on that, and everyone there, I mean, the people there are so nice. I love the guys that put out Trauma Team. I've worked with them on a couple of other projects in the past, and they're just they're really good. They're sort of the same as me when it comes to things. When it's, they want it done right. They don't just want people spitting out lines. They want it done right. They want the inflection right. They want it to sound good. So I think this one's going to be a really good one.
And I believe that was Atlas who
yes.
published the game. Yes, I always follow them. They tend to give me extra stuff with my games, so I'm all
nice.
For it. But I think that we're also going to take a small break, so keep it tuned to 91.8 The Fan. When we come back, we'll find out even more about Amanda Winley. So stay tuned to your favorite station.
91.8TheFan.com. Have you logged on today?
Who, me? No. No?
iStock's daily news show, video reviews, articles, forums, and an anime directory. Don't get left behind. Log in today. Only on
918thefan.com.
918thefan.com.
All right. 918thefan.com.
Hey, everybody. You're tuned in to 91.8 The Fan. I'm still here with my guest. I didn't scare them away, but they might have scared me a little.
Excellent.
She's trying to take over my show. Actually, we were talking behind the scenes where you guys can't hear, about something that you want to tell our listeners about.
Yes. Okay. So some of you are aware, not all of you, that when my son was a baby, he had leukemia. Now, we were one of the lucky ones, and he did pull through. But we work with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society raising money to find a cure. My brother is going to be running in the San Diego Marathon on June 6th. So if you go to my Facebook page, Amanda Winley, the fan page, you'll see there's a link to my brother's team and training page. For everyone who donates $25, I will send you a personal handwritten note telling you how much I love you and that you're my new best friend. For anyone donating $50, I'll send you a picture, a signed picture of me and the kid. And if anyone donates $100, I will send you something from my own personal anime collection. It might be a wall scroll, it might be a DVD, it might be a figurine, I don't know. But, yeah, that and my undying gratitude. And if somebody wants to get really crazy and donate $250, then I will personally call and have a conversation with you. Because I'm a whore.
I will say, though, that you will definitely want her to be your best friend. She's awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm curious, are you on any other social media, like Twitter, or do you have your own website or anything?
You know, like I said, I've been keeping a low profile lately. So I just got around to doing the fan page, because people kept trying to friend me on my personal Facebook page, and I kind of wanted to keep that just family and friends. Yeah, no, I sort of dropped off the face of the earth for a while. Basically, what happened was after my son recovered from the cancer, my father got cancer. That sucked. Then after my father died, we found out that my son had gone deaf from the chemotherapy. So I've been focusing all my energy on the kid, who I call Noodle for some reason. I've been focusing all my energy on Noodle and just helping him get caught up and getting his hearing situation resolved. He had hearing aids for a while, but then his hearing got worse, so he now has bilateral cochlear implants, which is so cool. Oh, my God. It's like something out of, like, an Isaac Asimov book. It's so, like, sci-fi and technical. They put little computers in his brains, and now he can hear. It's really neat. So we're just basically helping him learn how to talk right now. He's had them for about 2 years, and he's already talking at a four-year-old level, so he's made this, like, insanely great progress. But, yeah, it's sort of that's taken up a lot of my time and energy, so I haven't been out and about much. I'm going to be teaching a theater class in Old Town Pasadena this summer in California through, if you go to Lineage Dance. Marcel, hush, the dog, sorry.
No, it's fine.
LineageDance.org, there should be more information. It's a three-week musical theater workshop. But, yeah, I'm just sort of slowly easing my way back into things, seeing what's out there.
And I'm curious, are you going to stop by any conventions this year, or is that a little bit out of your schedule?
You know, I don't have anything scheduled. I always say I really, really want to go to another one just because I miss my anime family. I miss just all the other people in the industry. I haven't seen them in so long. We were going to go to OhioCon this year, but it just didn't work out with work schedules and school schedules and whatever. But they talked about maybe bringing us back next year. So maybe OhioCon. Other than that, no, I have no real plans. Because I'm really just laying low. I mean, also, you know, there's the thing with my son, and like I said, the fans have gotten very aggressive in later years, and there's been a lot of, and as much as I love the positive feedback, I understand that not everybody's going to love everything that I do, but there's been some very aggressive negative feedback too, that just makes me just not want to deal with it at all. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I can definitely understand. I mean, fandom nowadays has sort of kind of taken control of a lot of things or become very elitist in their thinking, you know, this is free, it's mine. And then there's also, you know, a lot of people who don't really appreciate all the work that the industry is doing, or they don't see it benefiting the Japanese studios and things like that. So it's kind of insane.
It's like they feel like we owe them something, which, I mean, I owe everyone common courtesy. I think that absolutely, but I don't need to be your new best friend just because you watched Evangelion 12 times. I'm flattered and I love that you love the work, but that's a character that I play. That's not me. So, I mean, it's when I see postings like, oh, Amanda Winley is a jerk and oh, Amanda Winley has no class or whatever, it's like, why be a part of that? Why feed into that? So I'm doing other things. I've written a screenplay and we're working on getting that sold. And I'm writing a book right now about Noodle's experience with cancer and getting through that. So I'm keeping myself busy. I'm keeping myself off the streets. Out of trouble.
Well, no, that's a good thing. And I will say that, you know, I like the fact that you're so truthful with that sort of thing, because I know a lot of anime fans, they come up to voice actors, they're like, how do I be an anime, or how do I be a voice actor, how do I do this, or, oh, okay, I really like you, can you give me your phone number, and then they get offended when you reject, and I think a lot of people don't realize that as much as we love voice actors, they're normal people too.
Exactly, we're just normal, well, maybe we're not normal people, but, yeah, we're just regular guys, and when somebody comes up and shoves something in your face and just says, here, sign it, my immediate reaction is to say, hey, F off, you know?
Right. No, I can totally understand. I mean, like, I think it stems from the way that the Japanese sort of see their voice actors. They see them more as an idol, you know, like that they worship. Yeah. And I think that's somehow carried on to the Western audience just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's starting to, although I still have an article from, I can't remember which magazine it was. Maybe it was Wired or something like that. And it literally says, like, think about it. The voice actress of Rei Ayanami is a star in Japan, but the one in America isn't. I'm like, oh, wow. That's my own little reality check. That keeps me humble. You know?
I mean,
I totally kept the article and framed it. Hilarious.
I mean, it's interesting to me, though, to see the reactions. You know, when I first started going to conventions, and, you know, before I did this, at like 13, I'd be like, oh, it's so-and-so, and, you know, you get excited, and you try and approach, and you try not to do anything embarrassing. I can understand that. I can't understand, like, the random glomping or the rudeness or the fact that fans feel entitled to something. I've never understood that.
Bless you, child. We love you. We love fans like you. Well, like I said, I mean, we are beyond flattered that anybody, you know, even listens to our stuff, let alone recognizes us as a specific person, one of us as a specific person. But I don't want people pulling on my clothes. I don't want people calling my house. That's my house. That's my home. That's private. You know, I got a lot of backlash on the fan book thing, when I started the fan book page, because some fans had friended me on my personal page and I told them, all right, I'm going to open up this page. I'm going to unfriend you here. And there was a huge backlash about what a jerk I am. It's like, well, sorry, I don't know you, and I don't think that you should necessarily be privy to information like, oh my god, I'm having a really heavy period, you know? I don't think my family even really wants to know that, to be honest. But still, I want that option.
I mean, I will say that, you know, I've talked to a majority of the voice actors that I end up liking or Facebooking or sending a thing. Like, I'm not good at Facebook myself. I like Twitter, thank you very much. But you know, I can't tell the difference between a fan page and an actual page. So I just find the one that comes up first, and that's usually their actual page. And I've talked with these people, and I still get to their fan page, and I'm fine with that because all they know is this voice. They know this floating voice of nothing. They don't even have a face to go with it.
Exactly. And you know, when people find my personal page, I always just say, please go to the fan page, thanks so much. And it's not, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to blow them off. I just, like I said, that's private. But yeah, and there are people, I've gotten people who friended me who, you know, they met me at a convention and I don't remember who they are. And I'm really sorry. Part of it is that I'm an idiot when it comes to names. I'm really bad when it comes to names. That's why it was awesome when we lived in Texas. You'd just call everyone sweetie or honey or darling. It was so much easier. But I forget names. And not only that, but I meet a lot of people. So I'm not going to remember each and every one. So it's sort of unfair to get angry that I'm like, I'm sorry, please go to my fan page. I don't know you.
Well, and actually a vice versa twist, and I really hate usually telling this story, but when I was like 14, 15, and I was fangirling over Johnny Young Bosch, I remember I had to block a doorway, and he needed to get in, and he was okay because he was a guest, but he was with his wife or his girlfriend, and I had no idea who that was. I just knew him. So right. I stopped her at the door, and I'm like, hey, you can't come in here. And then I ended up offending, you know, the voice actor Johnny Young Bosch and everything, and I was like, oh, that's cool. He's going to remember me forever, and then I'm just going to, like...
Well, see, that's his bad. He's a moron. Of course he's not going to, like, know, oh, this person is his wife or his girlfriend. I mean, you're not telepathic. That was stupid. He should have said, she's with me as he walked through, you know.
Right.
I hereby exonerate you from any guilty bad feelings over what happened. That guy was a douche.
Well, no, it's not a big thing anymore. It's just something I've always remembered thinking, oh, they're always going to remember that. Like, I'm going to get him on the show one day, and he's going to be like, you're that girl. And I'm going to be like, oh, no. I know.
Don't tell him that story then.
I know it won't actually happen, but I can kind of see fans when they see something like that and they're like, well, maybe they'll remember me. But at the same time, you know, I think a lot of fans are kind of in this fantasy world when they go to cons. It's like going to Disneyland. You don't have manners when you go to Disneyland. You just act like a wild monkey when you go to Disneyland.
That is the perfect description. Wild monkey. Yes.
Well, because, you know, I think it's funny because, like, a lot of the problems I have at conventions, and don't get me wrong, I love them because they're so interesting, they're so fun, but people can be so very rude.
Yeah, people can be obnoxious. But on the other hand, you know, I love going to conventions and just sort of walking around and seeing, like, little groups of people who've just met each other. I always think that's so cool that here are people who, you know, have just this one thing in common they never would have met otherwise. I think that's awesome because, all right, let's face it, not everyone, but in the beginning, a lot of anime fans were socially inept. So for them to, like, get together at a convention and meet each other, I just thought that was cool. I liked that in a weird way we were helping these people make friends.
Oh, definitely. And I must say, you know, since we've gotten on to our tangents and we got a little sidetracked, is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners about? Any other projects or anything?
I don't think so. That's the Leukemia Lymphoma Society one is big. So if you go to Amanda Wynn Lee, the fan page, you'll see the link to my brother's team and training page, and you can donate. And like I said, like when you donate, they take your name and address and whatever. And like I said, I will give you stuff. So please, please, please donate. The race is June 6th, so you got to do it soon, but there's still time. And yeah, that's all I have to pimp right now.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we can get you to pimp something in the future. But I'm wondering, before we let you go, if you'd like to participate in a 91.8 The Fan tradition.
Absolutely.
We ask everybody who comes on whether they're a voice actor or not if they'd be willing to do a bump for us.
Absolutely. Sweet.
We do this live on air for any mess up, so we're putting you on the spot. We were wondering if you could say, my name is, I do this, and you're tuned into 91.8 The Fan.
Hi, my name's Amanda Wan Lee. I'm the voice of Rei Ayanami and a bunch of other groovy chicks. You are listening to 91.8 The Fan. Good for you.
Perfect. No mess-ups.
Yay!
People have gotten better.
Did I tell you that actually made me nervous? About I can't screw this up.
Well, it was funny to me. When we started, I think it's because somewhere far away from us, there's a radio station that has the number switched. Every time we got those, like, 98.1, and we're like, wait.
No, not quite.
The numbers always slip people up, but I must say that it was an absolute pleasure to have you on. You were so fun to have. You were energetic, and I hope that we have you on again.
Absolutely. The pleasure was all mine. I would love to talk to you guys again. This was a blast.
And for everybody out there, if you missed any of this interview, well, really shame on you because this is awesome. We will be posting it up on the website in the next few days. So stay tuned to 91.8 The Fan. Everything you want, nothing.